Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Panther Nation, the C3 Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com.
I had fun, man, just out, you know, we guys joking, you know, we working at the same time, you know, putting the work in as a team. Like I said, I'm just glad to be with the guys, you know.
My favorite night of the week.
We're going to go out there, and we're playing to win. We're not out here just to show up. We're out here to win it.
I don't want guys to want this, because really, who does this? Nobody wants to win. Everybody wants to win. I want players to hate the
Bro, this embodies everything that we are as a team, as an organization. You know, our motto is keep calm, and that's what we do. You know what I'm saying?
What's the deal, Panther fans? We're back. Less than 24 hours removed from the Panthers' sixth consecutive loss. Eighth on the season, we fall to the New Orleans Saints 12-9 in a game where the defense scored like 33% of the points for the Panthers. We're going to be talking about that and a lot more tonight on tonight's show is Not Better and actually Much Worse. You can join us. This is episode 18.46. You can join us on YouTube in the chat room. Call into the Cat Calls line at 252-228-5098. And if you want to get really interactive in the podcast, check the show notes. There's a shindig app. Can you dig it? Come and join the podcast with us. We'll be featuring your calls later on. I'm here with Cody Lashney. Cody, a few hours removed from the game. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay, Tony. You know, I mean, at this point in the season, you kind of just have to reconcile what the season is. It's a bad season after losing six in a row. You're kind of at that weird point where you're hoping for a better draft pick now than, you know, winning the final two for moral points. So, yeah, man, it is what it is. I tell you what, it'll never change. We're going to be here every Tuesday night at 9 to talk about everything in Panthers football. I'm ready to do it, man.
Cam Newton's shoulder is the most important storyline at this point, Cody. There's some real concern in my mind about where Newton is in his recovery, almost 2 years removed from having his rotator cuff surgically repaired. And as the Panthers continue to lose, Ron Rivera keeps having to face the media, and it looks more and more like each time he does that, he may be facing the music. Has his message gotten stale, or was the defensive resurgence on Monday Night Football enough to show Rivera may be a little shook, but is ultimately keeping it together? Those are things we're going to kind of start off talking about tonight. Cody, I've got a poll on the Facebook stream right now because they allow you to do that. And are you concerned about Cam's long-term shoulder health? That's my question to you to start this show. 2 years removed, and Cam Newton is struggling with strength, soreness, range of motion, and it's starting to show into frustration.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how you wouldn't be concerned at this point. In my mind, I feel somewhere along the way he re-injured that shoulder. I don't think that it's, you know, the same injury from last year. Because in the playoffs, or he might have re-injured that specific injury, but, you know, when we were in the playoffs, in the Superdome last year, Cam was throwing dimes all over the field, and that was even shorter removed, you know, than we are now from the initial surgery that Cam Newton had. So I honestly feel the culprit might have been that Pittsburgh game, where T.J. Watt just let Cam have it right in the shoulder. It honestly could have been any number of moments throughout the course of the season right now. But when it's your franchise quarterback and it's his throwing shoulder, no less, yeah, you have to be worried that, you know, this could potentially affect his ability to move the ball down the field. And as an offense, if your starting quarterback can't push the football, it limits what you do on offense, and the defense is able to plan around that. So at this point in time, yeah, it's definitely worrisome.
This is starting to wear on Cam Newton. Cody, go ahead and cue up Cam Newton clip number one from his press conference. I was watching the press conference after our show last night, after the live post-game show, where we're talking about these things, right, where they're talking about them. And this was one of the saddest, most unsettling moments for me as a Cam Newton fan, is to see him mentally hurt. I think the pain is mental at this point. Let's go ahead and cue up Cam Newton after the game last night.
You know,
how ready are you, Cam? How ready are you for that not to be your regimen anymore? For you to get your shoulder right and you can practice and you can.
I mean, I wish I could tell you. I think the frustration comes when you do any and everything to make sure your body's at peak performance. I mean, from cardio, treatment, practice, film, cardio, treatment, practice, film. It's been repetition. And I think it's disheartening for me, you know, just because so much invested time that you put in. You know, I don't want to, you know, play the "woe is me" game, but you know, we just got to be better. I got to be better. And that's what's so frustrating, when you want it so bad and you push, you put so much on your plate, and you know it doesn't come down to you. But at the end of the day, you just got to uphold your end of the bargain. And when certain things don't happen, you know, that's when frustration comes. And that's why I'm frustrated. You know, it's not necessarily about practice, which it is to a degree. But when you've been doing something, you know, over certain times, you kind of get in a regimen of when you're supposed to do certain things. Obviously, my arm hasn't allowed me to do a lot of practice. Been on a pitch count for a long time. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, that's not. No, a scapegoat. That's not, you know, something that I want to, you know, people to bail me out on. It's just something that, you know, is reality.
How is it that you?
It is a reality, and he has been on a pitch count, what Ron Rivera has called the new normal now for over a year, but it seems to be progressively getting worse at this point, to where it's now turned in from discomfort to having a real effect on his ability to get velocity on the ball in a way that isn't upsetting even more to his shoulder injury.
Yeah, and, you know, it's even more frustrating now. Ron Rivera held a press conference today where he basically came out and said that he believes that going into this game against Atlanta, that Cam Newton gives us the best chance to win the football game. And, you know, We've been calling for Ron Rivera's head for a long time now, but one of the things, and you can, you know, account for this, and I've always said this, is that I don't dislike Ron Rivera. I think that he's done good things for the team and as a head coach. He's done good things here in Charlotte. But man, this is a tough one. If he's going to absolutely insist on playing Cam Newton in this condition for a pointless football game, that basically has no meaning, and you're going to continue to put Cam Newton out there and put him in harm's way. I mean, we're some of Cam Newton's biggest fans, and the fact that we don't want him out there is a testament to how injured he is. I mean, Cam Newton had a moment of honesty last night with the media and with the fans about the nature of the injury that he's been going through and what he's been doing to try and remedy that. And, man, listen, you see the heartbreak. I mean, that man wants to win for this football team, for the fans. I mean, he wants to give his all. But the fact that he's not able to do that and he's playing hurt and Ron Rivera just seems to not care, it kind of makes you think, does Ron Rivera even care about Cam Newton the person? And does he just worry about his job at this point?
Holy cow, we just had a takeover. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. Yeah, it is unsettling. Cody, let's go ahead and cue up Cam Newton again at the podium, talking more about how difficult this has been for him.
Sir. How is it that you get off of that pitch count?
I don't know.
You walk in here twice a week, you know we're going to ask you questions about your shoulder. Right now you just said it's all right, but you've also admitted before that it's not all right. Can you help us explain what it feels like after a game?
I mean, for people who labrum, rotator cuff, shoulder soreness, and you know, as far as, you know, I wish I could say what the injury is, because I really don't know what it is either. You know, it doesn't matter how much you push, no matter how much you know, like I say, ice, you know, anti-inflammatories you take. I mean, I've been, trust me, I did it. Acupuncture, massages, it's not been a time that I haven't, you know, a night went by without me getting some type of work done on my arm. And, you know, you just don't have the strength, you know, from the range of motion. You work on the range of motion, and then come game time, you know, you never know how the game can, you know, kind of play out. You know, of course, you will try to stay under 25 to 30 throws, but if it's a pass that, or if you get hit on it, or you have to run, or you get tackled and you fall on your shoulder, certain things, you know, happen. You know, that's the game of football. But, you know, as far as stiffness, you know, just muscle tension, you know, it's a lot going on. But at the end of the day, it's not something that hasn't got worse over the weeks or hasn't got better over the weeks. It's just been the same, and it's just been that.
Yeah, but is the pain affecting how you throw the ball?
I wouldn't say so. It's I think the thing that, you know, when you talk to the different people who can help you with it, you know, it's not no magical surgery or whatever. It's just time. It's time. I've been hearing that since the injury happened. But when you look around the league and you know, you see guys doing certain things, and you know you're well capable of doing those things, and you know, whatever it is, you know, I feel as if this team has everything that it needs to go to the next level. You know, even with me in the position that I am in, you know, it still didn't come down to my arm tonight. You know, it still comes down to execution. You know, like I said, you can't praise the defense enough. Those guys battled, gave us opportunities, and gave us more opportunities. You know, it's just on us to sustain drives and you know, take the tension and the pressure off those.
Yeah. I thought this was a little bizarre turn there when he said that this isn't on my arm. This is about execution. When clearly Cam was having difficulty executing because of his arm. And if you watch that press conference, Cody, he does not take it easy on Devin Funchess. They said, they asked him about, did he leave the ball short? And he said, I just tried to give a guy a chance to make a play. He didn't say that. He said, well, it could have kind of been. He did not back off from it. So, you know, you're hearing Cam Newton. I feel like that is frustration that is bubbling and seeping through at this point. You heard that it's difficult for him. He's doing all of this long rehab process, and he's not seeing the gains that he had hoped to have seen. And you heard him say that it's not getting worse. It's not getting better. It's not getting worse. It's staying the same. But I argue that it is getting worse. We can see that it's getting worse throughout the season through fatigue. The fact that he's worried about cresting 30 passes in a game. And what's really getting worse for us is that if Cam Newton continues to play, and this turns into a long-term problem, Cody, things could get much worse for Carolina.
Yeah, and to be honest, and if I'm being 100% fair, Cam Newton's kind of all over the place in this interview. I feel that he's torn between a place of not wanting to put all the blame on his shoulder as an excuse of saying, oh, well, we didn't win because of my shoulder. But at the same time, trying to be honest and tell people that, I mean, he's not feeling well in his throwing arm and shoulder. And I mean, we're talking about a quarterback that had one of the most beautiful deep ball passes in the NFL. And last night he had one pass that went over 15 yards. I mean, there's a clear problem in Cam Newton and his health and his ability to play his best football. And I feel the frustration of the man. I mean, he knows what he's been capable of doing in the past. And the fact that he just can't do it now, man, I honestly cannot even imagine what he must feel like. Like I said, he's a little bit all over the place. But you're right. The shoulder has gotten progressively worse as we've moved through the NFL season. And, I mean, I can't imagine it'll be better by this Sunday or next Sunday. And that's why, in my mind and in the mind of a lot of Panther fans, it's the right thing to do, not only for the man himself, but for the future of the Carolina Panthers organization, to sit Cam Newton and do what's right by him and the team.
I agree that it is a long, like, this is now we're worried about the long-term health of the organization. And the moment that you have a quarterback you know has the chops to get you to the promised land, you have to, I mean, a lot of things have to go right in that process. You have to put together a team that can complement him. You have to kind of catch lightning in a bottle. You have to win those close games. And that generally doesn't happen unless you have a rock at quarterback. And this unknown of not having Cam Newton in the future is so unsettling that this becomes problematic. And I think we'll turn to what Lee Trotter's saying in the chat room. He said, sit Cam and let him rest and get ready for next season. But if Rivera plays him on Sunday, he should be fired on the spot. So let's go now to turn to the conversation of how Ron Rivera is handling this and Cam Newton's injury. And let's cue up a clip number three from Cam Newton when he was asked how he would react to being set.
To your point, it is a time thing.
Oh, my bad.
Here we go. Cam Newton on whether he should be sat.
To your point, it is a time thing. Would you consider sitting? Would you consider not playing?
That's not on me, you know, to be honest with you. My job is to do the things that I can control. And, you know, for me at this particular point in time, I don't have an answer for you. You know, I know, you know, just to make it public that I've tried and done everything, you know, and I think the frustration, like I said before, comes when no matter what you do, you can rub magic dust on it. You can, you know, go to this person, go to that person, you know, have the, you know, placebo things done where you think certain things are what they are. But then you just come out and, you know, it's still the same. Like I say, over the past couple of weeks, nothing has really pretty much changed. It's been the same way. So,
Ron came to you and said, we want to sit you the last 2 weeks. Your response?
I guess we have to have that conversation. If we had that conversation, I'm not looking forward to that conversation.
So to me, look, Cam Newton is clearly, like you said, straddling the line, Cody, between wanting to admit that he's injured and wanting to show that he is willing to lay it all on the line for a team. I felt like that was reserved enough of a response. Like, I would be saddened that happened, but I know it could be a reality moment. I thought there was a glimpse right there that even Cam knows that potentially is the best thing. So do you believe Ron Rivera will sit Cam Newton this week against the Falcons? Short week too, by the way.
I don't think he will. I honestly don't think that he will. His words say as much. I have no reason to not believe Ron Rivera. He said so today. If his arm got to the point where, you know, he's just not being able, which, I mean, let's face it, he is at that point. I mean, he's not practicing. And this is what baffles me. I don't understand, you know, how you say that Cam Newton gives you your best chance to win the football game. I mean, if that's true, you have absolutely no faith in Taylor Heinicke as your backup quarterback, which, of course, you want Cam Newton over Taylor. But you have to be able to know that the next man up is capable of going in there at any moment. And if we don't know that Taylor is the guy to be able to do that, then when are we going to know? And if Cam Newton isn't practicing and getting in the same rhythm as DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and Ian Thomas and all of our exterior players, then what does it matter? And more importantly, the Atlanta Falcons defense, they can game plan us to a T because they know they don't have to go deep because Cam Newton's not going to be able to throw the ball that far. So it makes their job even easier if you have Cam Newton on the field. And yet, with all of that said, I have no doubt in my mind that unless David Tepper comes through and makes the decision, that Cam Newton is going to play because Ron Rivera will trot him out there. And it's sad at this point.
You really believe that Ron Rivera is so out of touch in understanding about what this season has become at this point, and also Cam's health in attachment to his long-term future, that he would be so short-sighted as that?
I do. I honestly do. And I think that if Ron Rivera had it even in his mind that he would sit him, that he would have said during the press conference today or have alluded to at some point, saying we'll check on Cam Newton's health during the course of this practice week. But he didn't say that. He basically just said Cam Newton gives us the best chance to win the football game. So as of right now, yeah. Maybe I'm alone in that opinion, but I 100% think Ron Rivera is that out of touch with where this football team is right now.
Lee Trotter says Herney could go over Rivera's head and IR Cam. That would be interesting right there. What if you just put him on IR without telling anybody? Josh Wicker on Facebook says, I'm just saying that hit from Watt was targeting. The hit has played through in my head, and I asked where was any recognition of that being a lead with the helmet shot? And then Matt Tichy on Facebook throwing shade on Cam Newton saying, I'm not as convinced as everyone else. It's not all shoulder. When he was playing well, still made bad decisions, held the ball too long, and mechanics horrible. Always seemed to choke when we needed him to step up. His athleticism covered up a lot, but he is who he was. Would love to see him well again. You know, the unfortunate part of that comment is that you really can't say – well, we know Cody's not going to buy it, but he did have opportunities to win some games this year, and he was unable to do that when he was given. We've lost probably six games by a score or less and had the ball probably in five of those games with late in the game with an opportunity to win. And Cam Newton has made mistakes at times, and he's even gotten us in a place where, you know, you put it on Graham Gano. Now, at the same time, I do think this is that I believe that Josh Wicker, I mean, we're seeing this. We saw articles start to pop up on this, is that that's the moment where the season looked unmanageable for Cam Newton with the pain. Before that, they had been probably limiting his reps in practice somewhat, but you saw him practicing on Wednesdays and things like that. And it was after that Steelers game that the season went progressively downhill for Cam Newton.
And the fact that we have seen earlier in this season Cam Newton making plays on the road in Philadelphia and making plays against Baltimore. I mean, we have seen a better Cam Newton this season. And then it's so coincidental that after Pittsburgh, you know, he gets hit and all of a sudden you have fans come out of the woodwork. oh, well, Cam's not really clutch and he can't do this. And it's like, why don't you care that the man is injured? I mean, don't act like it doesn't matter. And then also another thing that drives me insane is people think that Cam Newton just wants to hold on to the ball because he wants, you know, he wants to extend the time period in which he might get destroyed by a defensive end. I mean, if Cam sees something open, he's going to throw the football. And we have a younger wide receivers right now and Devin Funchess. And we've had numerous conversations about Devin Funchess. So, I don't buy that. I think that we're an infinitely better team with Cam Newton under center than we would be otherwise. And if he's not healthy, though, it all matters for nothing. And that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, I thought that we saw an improvement in Cam Newton's mechanics earlier in the season. I thought we saw an improvement with his decision making. Is that early on in the season, Cam was like 10. Remember, he's starting off games like 10 for 13 with two touchdowns. He was at one point through 13 completions in a row. And then people are going to say that it was all underneath stuff, all underneath things. But he was making good decisions. He was putting the ball on the money early in the season. We did see that Pittsburgh game begin a tailspin. We thought that we were going to pull out of the nosedive, but it continued on Detroit, slid on through Seattle, and just really wrapped up and crashed in Tampa. And then last night, I think you just saw the wreckage burning on the grounds of what was a 6-2 season that could potentially end 6-10, the first team in NFL history to do that. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @cat_chronicles. Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button in YouTube and share the show. We appreciate all y'all that are here with us this week, right after the post game. We're going to get through this. And so I guess here is, Cody, last question before we get into the cat calls, and that is, would winning against the Falcons be a loss in the scheme of things?
In my mind at this point, unfortunately, you have to say yes. I mean, I was looking at it earlier. There's the potential, if a few things go our way, if we lose out and a few other teams win, that we could even have the fifth pick in the draft. I mean, we would need a few things to happen and a few bad teams to look good all of a sudden. But and then on top of it, and I think you mentioned it before the show, is that the Falcons, they would have a lower or a higher rather pick than we do in that draft. So that means it's a, you know, there might be a defensive player or an offensive tackle that falls down and then they swoop them out from under us. I mean, ultimately, I'm not too worried about that. I think no matter what number you pick in the draft, you can find some quality talent that's going to be able to come onto your team and really improve who you are pretty much instantly if you do the due diligence and scouting the players. But at this point, I mean, now it feels 100% like 2016. I mean, it really feels that way, where I remember that last game in 2016 against Tampa, and I was like, I didn't want to win. I wanted the better draft pick, and by the way, that pick turned into Christian McCaffrey. So, at this point, I'm never going to cheer against my Carolina Panthers, but winning at this point, when we have no chance of being in the playoffs, I don't care if ESPN says 1%. It's a negative 5,000% that the Panthers made the playoffs at this point in time. I want a high-quality draft pick for us to work with.
You know, you're talking about – I saw somebody said we're projected maybe to be eighth, right where we're at, like you're saying, in 2016, where you get a Christian McCaffrey-level player. You know, a top-10 player really could help the Panthers. And then there's the opportunity too, is that there are teams that could be moving and shaking, and to move back and maybe get two players in the first round would be a big deal, because the Panthers need guys that are going to be hits. And we've had too many draft bust in the last 5 or 6 years where we need a draft like we had last year. Really, the last two, last year, I would say, or the last 2 years. The last 2 years seemingly have been, you know, like these guys are going to stick and be players. But, you know, just last year, people were questioning if Curtis Samuel was going to be a contributor because of all the injuries that he had been facing. So we're going to have a lot of turnover. It's going to be an interesting question. And look, is that if we lose to the Falcons, that puts us at 6-9 and them at 6-9, and they would have all the tiebreakers clearly. And so we would, I would assume, get a better draft pick in that case. So, you know, I tell you one thing is I don't want that win coming at the expense of Cam Newton and more injury. And you have brought this up a lot, Cody, Tampa Bay, the Kelvin Benjamin play.
Yeah.
Where Cam Newton chases that guy down, playing for nothing at that point, and then it turns into a big deal.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you one thing: no matter who's in the Super Bowl, if the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, I'm pulling against them. It is a nightmare scenario in my mind seeing Kelvin Benjamin wearing a Super Bowl ring before Cam Newton and Greg Olsen and Ryan Khalil and Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly. I mean, come on. And like I said, I mean, I try not to live in the past, but if it wasn't for Kelvin Benjamin choosing to not chase down that interception, and then Cam Newton having to chase down that interception all the way against the San Diego Chargers, that's when he hurt his shoulder. And then Cam Newton tried to stick up for his man, throw the ball his way, then for Kelvin Benjamin to just trash him. Yeah, call me petty, say I hold a grudge. I will never be a fan of Kelvin Benjamin.
And we need to make sure that they lose, because I believe any person who has been on a 53-man roster, whether they're active or not in the Super Bowl, gets a Super Bowl ring. So even if he was cut next week, he, I believe, is still eligible as part of a Super Bowl team. So we're going to need, like, the Chargers to win. That's what we're going to need. The Chargers to win. Or I heard someone say this, is that would it be if the Saints won, would Drew Brees finally retire?
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I think they finally – they finally put the pieces around him. They have a good team in New Orleans. I mean, there's no point in denying that. That's a good football team. They've added good defensive players. Sheldon Rankins is a good player now. I don't know. Unless he just felt as if he had fallen off a bridge, you know, in terms of his talent level. No, I think we'll probably have Drew for maybe another year or two. But they are going to have to look at filling that position at some point in time.
Also, I cannot ever hope that they win a Super Bowl. Imagine how intolerable those fans would be if they had two rings on their fingers that we had, that they get to flash around on Twitter and Facebook and every time we run into somebody. And they've been whining today, Saints fans. I want to tell them, shut the hell up. Y'all have got, like, basically the number one team in the whole league right now. So shut up with your crying and get off my timeline. All right, let's jump in.
And can I just make one? I want to make one point real quick. You know, Booger McFarland and Witten, you know, they took every opportunity to trash Cam Newton. Can Cam Newton lead a drive downfield? Well, how about this? And you said it last night. Drew Brees on that 2-point conversion just threw the ball to no one. I mean, on a ring and a prayer,
into a crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is your MVP of the NFL. Come on. The Panthers defense didn't let him look like an MVP last night. That's for damn sure.
All right, let's jump into the cat calls. You can be a part of the C3 Panthers podcast. The number is 252-228-5098.
So what are your thoughts on cat calling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think catcalling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like... Who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his nose? Who's
that kid that can use one.
I think this year and this upcoming year's draft, we need to focus on primarily getting a good wide receiver and then late second, third round, try to go after offensive linemen. Also, just need to focus on sitting in for the rest of the year and honestly trying to get a good draft pick.
Hey, C3. Hey, Panther Nation. It's Nova Black.
It's Nova Black.
Early morning, and I just wanted to share my thoughts from the game last night. Our playoff hopes are gone. You know, it's a disappointing loss. 6 in a row, you know, at home to the Saints. You know, the defense played lights out, best game of the season. But the offense was absolutely impotent.
Yeah.
And ain't had no fire, no gas at home.
I like that word, impotent.
Obviously, Cam ain't playing up to his potential. He's obviously hurting. But even though it ain't no playoff hopes or whatever, I think our guys will get better and be better against the Falcons next week. But at least we got some bright sides. Our young guys, you know, getting the experience because this is as close to a playoff game as they're gonna get. So I guess we got something bright to look forward to next season with the young talent that we have, and at least we ain't picking in the bottom of the draft no more. So that's a good thing, I guess, trying to be optimistic. Anyway, everybody keep pounding, and I hope we can get to the back end of the season and get better enough to at least beat the Falcons and maybe get a win in the Superdome, which I doubt, but hopefully we can, and that'll give our young guys something to look forward to as far as confidence coming in the next season. Anyway, guys, thank you for the podcast. Keep pounding.
All right, first two calls are really turning the page on to next season, Cody. Looking ahead to the draft is, and I guess that's what happens when playoffs are no longer in the potential. When playoffs are no longer there, what else is there to look towards, right?
Yeah, there really isn't a lot to look forward to other than the draft, which we've already kind of mentioned. Joe Realano coming in hot, by the way. What's going on, Joe?
Nancy Cobb on fire.
All right.
So, Joe, go ahead and take that. What are your thoughts on, you know, with nothing really to play for, you know, what do you think the mindset of this Panther football team should be going forward? Should we try and squeak out some wins and get the moral victories, or are we looking toward the draft already?
I think at this point, these last two games would be a very good opportunity to evaluate some depth. And I'm not saying take all the starters out, but I am saying a good chance to see some significant actual playing time for some of your backups. And then you can be a little bit better prepared to go into the draft knowing where your strength and your weaknesses are. At this point, I think that's more important than winning these last two games. And I think as many people have said, I've been listening, as many people have stated, sitting Cam is the first thing we should do.
And like today.
Today.
So yesterday.
What's the point? Really. We should have started yesterday, but today. And that way, the backup can get all the reps with the ones this week. And they're good. You get a good chance to see how he's going to do when taking live bullets.
I think that's an excellent point, Joey, is to not look at it as not play, nothing to play for. But now these games are what these games are a different opportunity. Now they're an evaluation tool instead of this being, you know, something that like you're going to send these guys out there. You're going to ask them to put guys that are proven. Look, KK Short was a monster last night. You know, he was questionable going into that game. So maybe it's time to say, all right, let's put Vernon Butler in there and go all day and see if you're worth even being on the roster in the future. So these types of things, I think that's a good point. And then you're not looking at it as there's nothing to play for. I think the sad part for me, guys, is that what we're doing is we're not surging on the back end, catching a little momentum and confidence that could be parlayed into next season. Right now, this has just been such a, the descent into oblivion is that it's really just been particularly demoralizing. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. Let's keep pounding through with these catcalls.
Hi, guys. Rich here calling you from the UK. Last time I phoned in, it was all about coaching, and it seems like that might have been true. Anyway, let's forget about that. I think we've all discussed Ron quite a lot. Let's just take a look at the draft. I heard people talking about trading up and trading down. I don't think, as unpalatable as it could be, that we should win again. We're in a really good position on 6 wins to get a very high draft, somewhere between 12, probably around 12. I'd personally be in favour of putting that back. I reckon that the Raiders would be interested in moving up because they've blown their 2 trades that got them first rounders and they're dropping back into the 20s.
Boy, really?
I think if you offer Gruden a 12 and their second round to move up and we took, say, the 22nd, if we were then picking at 22, 34, and our second rounder somewhere around the high 40s and invested a lot of linemen, we'd be doing really well. I've had a look at a lot of mock drafts and I think it's Cody's man, Christian Wilkinson's going at around 40. There's an awful lot of defensive talent going in this draft, and I think you could get 3 linemen in the top 50 would be a certain great way to go about it. Looking at bits of the game last night, there's no interior pressure coming on Drew Brees whenever he's making the big throws. KK's grading well according to PFF, but I don't know about Poe. I love Kyle Love, but obviously he's about 40 as well now. There's big holes. We should really, with doing badly and trading back, we should really consider that. It's PFF. I keep mentioning them, and I know Cody doesn't particularly like them. But trading back is really, really useful. Picking up extra draft picks, you know, dropping your second and moving back and picking up 2 seconds. I mean, bear in mind, Taylor Moten went. We picked him up at 60-odd. Ian Thomas went at the start of the 4th. I don't think we need to look at skill position. I think between McCaffrey, Moore, Samuel, and Ian Thomas, we're really well set. Cam needs to sit. It's obviously his shoulder is a problem, even if it's unidentified. He's up there with Markelle Fultz for funny shoulders at the moment. Anyway, guys, keep pounding. Do with the podcast. And here's to better luck next season. Keep pounding.
All right, thanks. That's Rich from Rich Kingston from the UK. Really, he's been coming strong lately. He sent me this great tweet talking about if you go back and look at teams who have won in the past that win one score games, and then look at our team and we lost. Like, it's the difference is that we could be those plays right there. All of a sudden, you're great in the category of great teams. But he's right. Is that at this point, we're starting to see is that there are a lot of holes on this team. There's going to be a lot of turnover going forward, aging out on guys on the defensive line. I mean, Addison, Peppers, they're also – I mean, you're going to get another year out of Addison. Peppers, this has got to be his last year, and it should be. You need a lot of offensive linemen too, a center, a left tackle, and probably another guard. And I do think that piling up some high draft picks and sacrificing maybe some of the later ones to do that and getting a couple of guys like Will Hernandez, who was picked at 34 by the Giants this past year, and really bulk up that line in a quickness. Do you remember, guys, when Dallas was struggling for so long and then when Jerry Jones was just like ruining everything, and then finally his son just said, we're drafting all offensive linemen for like the next 5 years.
Yeah.
By the way, that's what I'm pounding the table to do. And, you know, but listen, it's not a bad idea to trade back, but honestly, it depends on what position you're in the draft. So, for example, you know, if you're sitting there, let's just say you're 6 or 7, and Jonah Williams, left tackle from Alabama, just so happens to fall in your lap, I mean, are you still looking to trade back at that point? I mean, I understand that, you know, when you have so many different needs on a football team and so many free agents coming up that you want to recruit a bunch of young guys, and I'm not opposed to the idea, but every once in a while, a player just falls in your lap that just fits what you need so bad, you know? And depending on where we're drafting, it's very foreseeable that we could be in a scenario like that. So it's all situational. It just depends on, what position we're in, who falls to us. And also, as a drafter, as a general manager, we talked with Dan Hartman about what all the different things a general manager has to do. One of the most important things, I feel, is being able to evaluate talent. And you should be able to pick up talented football players in all rounds of the draft. But as of this moment, I would love some top-tier offensive line picks.
Yeah, and I think some things that I'd like to see maybe is for us to get aggressive in courting those guys. If we do move back like Rich is talking about, I think the cost comes higher than just – I mean, if you're – to go from the mid to 22 to right around top 10, that's going to cost a lot. I'd like to see us then take maybe get like a fourth round pick as well or something like that, and then start coupling those picks, those later round picks where you're trying to hit these long shots, and just move up and get like two guards and a defensive tackle and a left tackle, and just load up a little bit. But it's going to, one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be very targeted in how you're approaching this through a combination of free agency and the NFL draft, because there are a lot of difficult positions to fill. These are not easy positions to transition to in the NFL. Defensive end is one of the slowest positions for guys to grow into. Left tackle, these guys get murdered their rookie season. So you're going to have to really play this carefully in the end to make it happen. All right, the number is 252-228-5098. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast.
What's up, C3? It's Jeremy Clancy out of Newport, NC. Sorry to get to join in on last night's call. I'm going to be up early and travel to Raleigh this morning. And I had my usual Miller Lights. But through that game, which was a pretty good game. But looking at next year, I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on it. I was thinking next year was going to be a good year, and then you guys kind of shot a hole in that listening to you. I realize we got a lot of people leaving, but with all those people leaving, is that going to open up a good deal of cap space? And hopefully with our new GM, multi-billionaires looking to throw money into the facilities. I can only imagine he's going to upgrade the training and the nutrition program. Great city to live in. Maybe we can get some decent name players to sign with us and try to go get that championship. So I get your thoughts on that. Or do you think we're going to be stuck trying to rebuild through the draft for a couple of years? All right, guys. Love the show. Keep on.
Cody, you take that.
No, I don't think it'll be a couple of years of a rebuild. I still think that we do have good players on the team. Listen, man, and I feel like a broken record sometimes, but one good draft can change the entire outlook of a football team. I mean, I bring up the Saints, but the Cowboys have done it. The Jacksonville Jaguars have done it with a few good drafts. It all just depends on bringing in talent. But one of the things that we haven't talked about, which we're going to be talking about even sooner, is free agency. and we talk about defensive linemen, you know, how much money is whatever general manager we're working with, you know, how much money are they going to be willing to throw in the DeMarcus Lawrence pot if Dallas decides to not re-sign him? What about Trey Flowers in New England with the Patriots? I mean, Ezekiel Ansah with Detroit. There's a few different defensive ends that will be available that I feel would, and they fit what we do. They're those hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive ends, and they would fit well on the team. But right now, what we decide to do in free agency is a wild card with a brand new owner, and we don't know if Marty Herney is going to be the GM through that process. So there's a lot of unknowns right now, but to answer that question, no, I don't think we'll be in rebuild hell for 2 or 3 years. One good free agency, one good draft, and we're ready to roll.
Joey, you know what the hard part about that is really executing it and pulling it off. You know, it seems like free agency is a necessary evil to go after some of these guys in their prime years and pay them the big bucks. But I feel like almost every time a guy gets paid, there's something bad happens like the next week. I believe Andrew Norwell's on IR right now, and he just got paid that giant contract. You think about what Poe, it wasn't a giant contract, but a lot. I'm thinking Matt Khalil. And what was funny is they asked Ron Rivera about Matt Khalil if he was even a consideration, and basically he said no. So, Joey, it does take a combination of that. And do you think – well, how do you feel about the Panthers having to fill so many holes? I think it's one of those things in this day and age you can do it with as much money they have on in the salary cap now.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, this is where your scouting and your evaluation really matters. You have to I think, Tony, earlier you mentioned rookies coming in at playing positions where it's hard to make the transition from college to the pros. I think that is the area where you look to strengthen through free agency, especially if you're trying to make a Super Bowl run. So that way you don't have that waiting period, that adjustment period. And you know, we're talking about left tackle, but I saw someone propose the idea our right tackle will be who was the starting right tackle at the beginning of the year? He hurt his knee.
Darrell Williams
will be the right tackle, and then Moten will move over to left tackle. That's what somebody is suggesting.
Well, Joey, let me ask you this, Joey. How much do you pay Darrell Williams coming off of a year where, you know, he basically was injured this entire year other than a few plays against Dallas? And the previous year was the only year that you played. It was a very good year, but you only have one good year of film on Darrell Williams. So how much money would you pay someone like Darrell?
Well, I think you got to protect yourself as a team. But at the same time, if you really think he can do the job, you have to give him something to where he's satisfied enough to not go somewhere else. So this is, again, where you have to have a good general manager. But I think the best thing we could do for both parties would be to sign him for some good money, but only on a one-year deal. Give him a play it or earn it contract. You know, you do well this year, we'll sign you long-term. That kind of deal.
I also think that there is an opportunity. I mean, if you can't cut Matt Khalil till after June 1st and it save you any money. And then on top of that, the savings don't really kick in until the following year. because it's after the calendar year or something like that. So it would help us 2 years from now. So, I mean, the question is, do you trot him out there, bring in a rookie to study behind him for the first four games and then put him back on trash detail? I just wonder if Matt Khalil will ever see a Panthers uniform again. It seems like he's fallen out of grace. It seems like Devin Funchess has fallen out of grace with this team. And there's some guys that really the Panthers are looking to turn the page. All right, let's keep going with these cat calls. We're going to push through the show and make a shortened one for us, which is still long for everybody else. The number's 252-228-5098.
That's Jeremy Clance again. I forgot the main reason I called in. I wanted to speak to all this trash talk on Cam, like everybody else is saying. They're sick of it. I am too. That shoulder has got to be hurting. I had the same surgery he did last summer. My doc told me I had 9 to 12 months and I'd be 100%. Well, I'm at month 15 and I still don't have full range of motion. Still sore and still gets tired really easily. I can only imagine flipping a football around, getting smacked at it. He's hurt. He needs to heal. We need to give him time to heal. He needs to go get all the treatment he can. And then I think next year, get him a full camp. Him healthy and he can be back to where he was pretty
easily. It's so crystal clear, and it's nice to hear that from somebody who's dealt with a shoulder issue. And Cam said that for y'all who have dealt with shoulder issues, you know, and it's just time, it seems like. But when you're putting so much wear and tear on it like Cam Newton is, and then getting smashed and blasted by guys in the process, it is definitely something that has drug on a lot, and it looks like it's kind of had some peaks and valleys over the last 2 years. The number is 252-228-5098.
Hey, guys, it's Philly John. Hope all is well. Listen, I hope you guys got a nap in because you were up late last night and you got another one tonight, so thanks for doing it, guys. Hey, things. Listen, I live in Philly, unfortunately, and the only thing I had going for me was they sucked as bad as we sucked until last night. So now we just got to hope they somehow fall off the cliff a little bit further, right? Hey, second thing, I'm surprised I hadn't seen Kelvin Benjamin retweeting or reposting his comments about getting an accurate quarterback. I figured, you know, the way Jason Witten and those guys were talking about Cam, and I figured KB jump on bandwagon, right?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, third, greatest thing ever.
Where is Cameron Artis Payne? I thought we were taking a look at him. We're going to take a look? We're not going to take a look.
That's funny.
Daughter. Okay, and last one. You guys got me thinking. This one's actually kind of serious. So you guys got me thinking about the GM and coaching thing and maybe going for the one more year of Ron and Marty. And then you were also talking about how many people we need. How many people are leaving? We need, you know, we have holes to fill all over the place. I think that's why we got to go ahead and make the move now. You don't want to bring in a GM 1 year into the rebuild, right? You want the GM to come in and the coach to come in and put their mark on the organization, not have somebody start it with 1 year. And then you got to pick up where they left off. Just my thoughts. What do you think?
That's Keep counting, guys. Excellent point there, because I think you've seen some of that attrition work through when it comes to Herney and Gettleman's guys, is that it seems like he's been a little bit easier to part ways with those fellas. And I think if you looked around the league, Cody, you probably see similar trends that, you know, you don't have that attachment. They are, you know, you might not believe in the same philosophy, and those players just might not be the vision that you saw, which just makes the pressure on them and the need to succeed that much more intense for a difficult position as a rookie as it is.
Yeah, and, you know, I know when you were talking to Dan Hartman, he sort of brought up the passing idea that, you know, there are kind of inopportune times to do things, specifically right, you know, at the end of a season, and they're getting ready to go into free agency and the draft, and there's so much to do. But, I mean, I'm kind of the mindset that you just have to pull the Band-Aid. I mean, if we're going to do this, there's always a bunch of other teams that have fired coaches and fired general managers. And every year, the coaching carousel turns anew. And when it comes to coaching and GM, I don't want to be last in line to get the talented people. I say you pull that Band-Aid now. It might put them a little bit behind. But, you know, maybe you fire Marty Herney at this point in time. Keep some of the same scouts that you have on staff. So that way they at least have the notes from all the observations they've been making throughout the season on college players and players in on other teams. And so that way the new general manager is coming into a foundation where, you know, it's still a relatively, smoothly running machine. But I kind of agree. I think that it's time to pull the Band-Aid off now. Is it going to hurt? Yeah. Is it inopportune? Yeah. But I just think that we need to find the guy and solidify him that, you know, you're the general manager. We'll pick the head coach, and then those two will be tied at the hip for the next however long here in Carolina.
Keeping the scouts, Joey, at least for the rest of the calendar year, could make that manageable for a GM where he just needs to try to get a feel for them and assess their notes. And really, you know, as a scout isn't implementing a team strategy, they're just out there grinding the games and the film, telling you what they see. And ultimately it probably does come down to the general manager and his little war room to make those decisions about how to interpret that information. So that is one thing you could do, Joey, is go ahead and bring in a GM like next week, fire Ron Rivera at the end of the season, go ahead and court your coach real quick, and then go after it and try to start this thing real quick.
I don't know. That doesn't seem. I can't see David Tepper being that type of guy. I think he's a little more methodical than just want to do something rash and in a hurry. I believe he's got a plan now. I think he's just waiting for the year to end. But I just can't see him doing anything quickly.
Well, I mean, but at some point, yeah, I mean, like you are limited to the time that is allowed. And I mean, and you're right, is that this is a difficult thing, is how to pull the trigger, when to pull the trigger. And then does the guy that you go and hire have the connections throughout the NFL world and the collegiate world to then pull off the next moves, which is get the head coach, then that coach, does he have the connections to put together a strong staff? And generally, that's what a lot of this comes down to, is that when you look at a general manager's role or a head coach's role, and this goes down to the head coach at the collegiate level, what's most important is how they put together a staff, it seems like. And that seems like they can maximize so much of what they get out of a team. And you see this in the college arena, is that you see coaches that really get some great assistant coaches and they're able to ride that wave. The question is, can you do all of that at once so quickly? But you're right. I mean, at some point it's always going to be like that. Like Cody said, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. Maybe. I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where I am slightly scared of change because, you know, we've had significant, you know, we've been relevant under Ron Rivera and Cam Newton, but at the same time, you also don't want to be paralyzed by that fear of change. Let's keep going through with these cat calls. Next call.
Hi, what's up, C3?
It's Carl D.
What's up, Tony? Tony and Joey, what is going on? Yes, it's Carl D. I am back again today.
Welcome, sir.
Second day in a row for calling. First off, I'd like to start out. I'd like to give an apology to my man Josh from Math. Josh, I did not know that was you was the Josh that was the guest. I didn't hear. I didn't have a sound on when you was introduced. So I was bored when you were talking about Harbaugh. Boy, I was.
He was fired up.
Like, who is this? Who is this man? But my bad, Josh. My apologies. I ain't know that with my buddy Josh. from Mass. That was the guest. I went there. Yeah, that you like that, Josh. Anyway, sorry about that. But I still don't agree with you, though. I still don't agree with you. You guys talk about Harbaugh not being a good college coach that is a good pro coach. You know, I still disagree with you about that, you know. But anyway, Tony, I listened to the Cam interview today. And, you know, if Ron don't sit this guy, then Ron is all but asking himself to be fired and not to come back next year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If the man is hurting, he even admitting that he's hurting, but he still want to play. You got to protect him from himself. Cam is the franchise of this team. Let's not get it twisted. Cam is.
Thank you, Carl D. Thank you.
The heart and soul of this Carolina, of the Carolina Panthers. And if he's not healthy, we don't win. Period. Point blank. End of discussion. And Cody, nah, I'm not going to argue with you tonight, Cody. Disagreements about the offensive line and Cam and if Cam messed up and you blame the offensive line. Not tonight.
But That's what he was about to say.
Not tonight. But I do have to give you this, Cody. If you think about the offensive line, I think the only thing we really need on the offensive line is the left tackle. Now, I was a Moten fan last year when everybody – okay, all right, guys, I'm back.
He got cut off.
I was a big Moten fan when we drafted him last year because I watched them in college and stuff. And a lot of fans was like, oh, that's a Gettleman pick, blah, blah, blah. He must not be doing that because of this. Because if he can't beat out Darrell Williams, well, and I tried to explain to people, you know, last season, a lot of fans, I said, look, no one in their right mind seen Darrell Williams' Pro Bowl type of season coming from Darrell Williams last year. That was like the equivalent of when the Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers at number one because they didn't think Drew Brees was their guy. And Brees had that phenomenal season during Phillip Rivers' rookie year that no one saw coming. So, I mean, you know, I was trying to tell people, Moten's going to be the man, and look what he's done. But Moten is best. Even though he did good that first game at Dallas, I think Moten is the future for as right tackle for us. He better serve as right tackle because that's the position he mastered in college, and he looks like he's mastered it so far in the NFL. So, yeah, it's Moten right tackle. We do need a left tackle. We had a chance to get it last year, but, of course, Ernie decided to go wide receiver. I say if we're going to get an offensive line, we're going to draft the offensive lineman, let's go left tackle. We had a chance to get our future center last year and Mr. Price. We could have got him in the second round because of that injury scared teams off. And just think of giving Price a rest and behind Khalil, just how good he will be as the new anchor for our team. Disappointing me, Marty. But anyway, I'm going to get off of here, let you guys talk. I'm going to be in the conversation in the chat room as usual. And until then, keep pounding, guys.
All right, Carl D. I think, you know, that was a name that you mentioned a lot last year, Cody, is how, and we talked about this, is that with that injury scare, we had an opportunity with Khalil to shelter him and protect him and bring him in slowly, and also have a player that could step in the case that Ryan Khalil was injured this year. Nicely, Ryan Khalil has not been injured. I think he may have missed like one game or a snap or a couple of snaps earlier in the season, but he's been in there. But boy, we really didn't make an effort in the last draft at all to address that offensive and defensive line problem.
No, and it baffled me at the time. I didn't, I thought that you would at least try and spend, you know, at least a third or fourth round pick to try and bring someone in to kind of bolster that offensive line up. And they didn't do it. They did bring in a lot of undrafted free agent guards and centers and things of that nature. And none of them, to my nature, have really panned out. But, Carl D and I, for once, were kind of on the same page. I would love to draft a new left tackle. It's not the sexiest position to draft, but I'm not even mad if it's a first-round left tackle. I mean, especially, you know, we're talking about Cam Newton and these injuries that, you know, now it should be more apparent than ever to everyone that if we're not protecting our quarterback, then we're failing as a franchise. I mean, it's time to put premium players around Cam Newton, give him time in the pocket, and that also makes life easier for the young wide receivers that we have on the team, for DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, and if we add another one in the draft. So I agree with that. Maybe look to add another guard in the third or fourth round sometime. But, yeah, other than that, I think we're pretty set. We just I would like to upgrade a few of the positions and maybe even the right tackle, since we don't know yet if we're going to re-sign Darrell Williams.
All right, let's do the last topic of somebody said that Tyler Larson was young. He's 27 already. So he's like at the time where he's supposed to be hitting that prime as a player. But and the reason I bring his name up is just because someone said in the chat room, Joey, you brought this up earlier, that these last two games should be an evaluation tool for this staff going forward with the people that they've got, an opportunity to get game experience for some of these players. Who are some of the people that you have in mind when you think about that and some of the positions? Because we saw Chris Clark sat, and they put in Newhouse, I believe his name was.
Mm-hmm. And
I mean, hey, is that I don't like you doing that when Cam's the quarterback. It would have been a lot better to try out these guys when Taylor Heineke's back there. But who are some of the positions and players you would like to see the Panthers really try to evaluate in this moment? And does the staff even care about it? Or is it just more Cameron Artis Payne fodder?
Yeah, that probably being one of the main ones, Cameron Artis Payne. My God, the poor guy, he gets promised everything and gets no delivery from the coaches. I remember one week they said, well, we're going to take a real good look at him. And he played one play the whole game. Came in, I think it was the first play. Was in on the first play and never saw him again. Larson is one. You got Brian Cox Jr. And is Haynes, the linebacker from North Carolina. Was that his last name, Haynes?
Yeah.
Marcus Haynes is the defensive end out of Ole Miss. I think Andre Smith is a guy out of UNC, was a linebacker, and then we also drafted another linebacker out of Maryland whose name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah, but these guys, let them get in, let them play, see what they've picked up, you know, because that's a lot of this is how much of the playbook do you really know? You know what I'm saying? So you get to evaluate that. And bring in, I want to see Golden.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Was he worth the pick, or is he? And really, you have to give him some opportunities. You might as well sit Captain Munderland and put Corn Elder out there and see if he should be on the team as either a role player. I actually, the only reason I advocate for starting Cameron Artis Payne and trying to see what he's got is not to see what he's got, but just to get damn Christian McCaffrey off the field, because clearly the staff doesn't care what Cameron Artis Payne has. Yeah. But other guys I'm thinking is Obada. And if I hear Brian Cox Jr.'s name one more time, or we got to find out what we got with Wes Horton, how do you guys not know on those dudes yet? We're talking Rashawn Golden, you know, the Hayes, some of these linebackers that you're trying to see, can you get by with? Because I think David Mayo is probably on the way out at this point. I mean, he's got to be hit the end of his rookie contract. He might be able to be re-signed just because he hasn't done anything. Cody, this has to be both sheltering players that we're interested in keeping, but also getting guys meaningful reps out there and putting them in positions where they can learn. And I don't think Mike Adams needs to learn anything else. I don't think that Julius Peppers needs to learn anything else at this point.
Well, you know what, Tony? I'm glad that you mentioned this. And that all makes perfect sense, all the sense in the world. But I'm going to tell you why you don't do that, and why specifically you're not going to do that this Sunday. Because this Sunday has the potential and will be the last game in Bank of America Stadium that Ryan Khalil, Thomas Davis, Julius Peppers, that all of these stalwart Panther players that have given their body, their heart and soul for this team, this will be the last game that they're going to play in Bank of America Stadium as a Carolina Panther. And while I do agree, yeah, you bring in some of the young guys, and I do want to see them play, and we do need to see how some of these guys are going to fill out our team, or do we need to spend more draft picks in those positions? I have to assume that this game, especially against the Falcons, is going to mean a lot for a few different players on the team, and I think we owe them at least enough to let them have their final day running around Bank of America in that Carolina Panthers uniform. So, it should be maybe even a sentimental day for a few of the greats of Panther football.
That's great.
You know, but then there's a way you can do that is that, hey, do we really care about Mario Addison at this point? I mean, it's not going to be his last game, right? So maybe you can honor those guys and start phasing out some other people, not phasing them out, but really limiting their game reps. But giving a guy one chance like Corn Elder, him getting burnt and then him never touching the field again is kind of an injustice at this point when you know it's all – going bad. And maybe they really thought that they had enough to make a playoff push. If they did, I just felt like we were watching two different teams. And you know, Ron Rivera was asked about, he said, you did see Cam Newton on offense, right? And him having struggles, right? He was almost prompted to say, like, what? Why are you missing this? Right? So this is a good opportunity. All right. Look, we're done with the cat calls for the night. I think we were up late last night. We're gonna have to circle back after the Falcons game and see where we're at. So I say we go ahead and close this sucker out, get our ice up picks, and kind of get our heads right and figure out now, kind of wait. I think right now it's a waiting game to see if Ron Rivera, if Cam Newton is going to be playing on Sunday. So, Cody, I'm going to let you start with the ice up picks. Who you got for us this evening?
So my ISO pick for the evening is something it kind of made national news. So you probably already have heard about this or maybe even seen it. But I do want to add another kind of spin and twist on this. Listen, guys, to everyone listening via audio form and in the YouTube chat on Facebook, Periscope, however you're watching the show, when you come to listen to the C3 Carolina Cat Chronicles podcast, you are listening to guys that watch this team. We know the players. We know the insides and outs of Panther football. And that's why more and more people are starting to watch shows like this and listen to shows like this instead of listening to the old tired personalities on ESPN. And today, my ISO pick is going to Stephen A. Smith, because on First Take, he was talking about the matchup between the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And not only did he say he was excited to see what two players would do who have not played all season because they've been on IR, but I want you to look at Teddy Bruschi's face right in the middle as Stephen A. Smith is saying this, and just look at how dumbfounded he is on how Stephen A. Smith could be so wrong, so bad, two times in a row. Look at his face. And the way that he's played this year is a he's going up against Derek Johnson. I'm looking at it from the standpoint. He's like, what the hell did this dude just say? I'm looking at Travis Kelce. Yeah, man. Listen, you have to understand when you're watching these shows, these guys don't watch every team that they're talking about. They have to talk
they
about
can't.
So much crap. Yeah, it's impossible. They most of the times they have no idea what they're talking about. That's why when you want to know something about your team, about the Carolina Panthers, you come to the C3 Carolina Cat Chronicles podcast because we know what's going on. Not Stephen A. Smith or Cal Turd or any of these other idiots spouting nonsense. So to Stephen A. Smith, ice up, son.
Yeah, ice up. And it's so true. It's a, you just see it all over the place. In fact, there was a call. Remember that guy that asked us to track down the Stephen A. Smith clip? And we played it because he gave a super chat. So I was like, I figure you got to pick somebody up. They give a super chat. I'll find the clip. And it was like, this has been Cam Newton's problem. You're like, dude, our defense gives up 30 points. Like, you're not watching this. And, you know, it's a narrative. Look, a lot of these guys, and you have to form ideas and then support them your way. You find evidence that helps you. But that's embarrassing. Just like my ISUP pick goes – actually, my ASAP pick is not going to be Booger McFarland, even though he just drove me crazy. My ASAP pick is Ron Rivera. My ASAP pick is Ron Rivera. Sit Cam Newton. Sit Cam Newton. Put the ice pack on Cam Newton. But the runner-up is Booger McFarland talking about mechanics. And the guy can't even push the ball 8 feet down the field. And you're like, it's because his bad footwork. No, it's because his arm is about to fall off, Booger. So get on your little whatever rascal and get out of here. That is, the whole Monday night crew is going to get fired this year, I think. They're going to replace
terrible. Jason Witten is so bad. Every Tuesday morning I wake up and is trending on Twitter for some new dumb clip he posted.
All right. Ice up Ron Rivera and give – while you're doing that, give Cam Newton an ice pack on IR, please. This season is done. It's time to look in development, like Joe said. All right, Joe, you're up. The last – your ice up pick of the week, please.
Ice up pick of the week this week goes to one time Cam Newton's homeboy, Cam Newton's right-hand man, Cam Newton's ride or die. I said 53 goes to Devin Funchess. You sorry sack of stuff. I cannot believe the piss poor effort that I've seen out of you the last 2 weeks. There is no way in the world you deserve to call yourself an NFL player. Your piss poor effort combined with your lackadaisical attitude has really made me lose all respect for you as a player. I don't know if your feelings are hurt or if you're feeling sorry for yourself, but whatever it is, you gotta get over it, because next year you are out of it here in Carolina, and I will be too happy to see you go. So ice up, Fun Fun.
You know that Rakam calls him Fun Fun still, even though he's publicly said he doesn't like it. And as Lynn points out, Devin, no likey your comment, because he speaks in third person as well. And this guy is soft as tissue paper. He's a salad boy, the salad man. All right, guys. This is the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. We've been rocking and rolling, like Cody said, covering this team closely each and every week for the last 6 years. The C3 Panthers podcast hasn't missed a Tuesday in that entire time. Now, next week, we are going to have to adjust the show probably to Wednesday if I can get everybody to agree, or if that's going to be available. We'll talk off the air about that, because Christmas, I believe, is Tuesday. So I think we can afford that. I think the fans will be okay with that. We want you to go ahead and turn your phone to portrait mode, smash that thumbs up button, and like, subscribe, share, drop the link to the podcast or to the YouTube video in a Facebook group, somewhere that you chat about the Panthers, because we want to grow this conversation. And sometimes that's difficult to do as we hit these troubled waters, but we're going to do it together and get through this. Also, if you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or the audio podcast, be sure to update your feed to the Megaphone feed to make sure that you have the most seamless interaction with the podcast or access to the podcast. I'm still going to be dual loading it and pushing things out for a while, but I'd like for people to just update that RSS feed if you do it outside of iTunes, if you're like me and use Podcast Addict. All right, Cody Lashney, where can they find you and talk football? And I guess start talking the draft a little bit more.
Absolutely, man. Listen, I know there's a lot of draft nerds out there. So, hey, if you want to talk about players, you want to talk about what positions you think we need to bolster, you can always hit me up. You can talk about anything you want, man. I say it every week at Cody Lax, CodyLac on Twitter. I just recently became the new Panthers analyst at DraftTech.com. So every other Tuesday, there's going to be a brand new mock draft coming out. As Tony said, this Tuesday is Christmas, so it'll probably be moved back just a little bit. But keep on the lookout. I'll post it on my Twitter. Tell me what you think of the players that are being drafted. Am I doing a good job, bad job? You let me know. But like I said, man, you can talk to me about whatever. I try and respond to everyone. And that's it for me, man.
We're going to have to integrate a little segment every other week where we just highlight what happened in that mock draft and any patterns or changes that you just see, early movement and things like that. All right, Joey, where can they find you until the next show?
If you want to talk football or baseball or Clemson football, you guys can find me on Twitter at JoeRealLondo.
All right, guys, that's the C3 Panthers podcast. We'll see you Sunday after the game, and then we'll check you out after Christmas. So you guys have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you two, guys. I'm going to talk to you plenty in between that. But I want to take this moment to thank everybody listening and to please wish you a safe, merry, and a merry Christmas. And I hope you get to spend some time with your family, because that's what I plan on doing. All right. That's been a good show. even though it's bad news, we're going to get through this. We'll see you guys later. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
Subscribe to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere you can catch an RSS feed. Check out CarolinaCatChronicles.com for the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective.
Great cash, homie.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.